My concern today in this era where we live in is, if we have strong churches, local churches, then we'll be able to impact the community. Because our aim is to impact the community. We are not here. We are here to be serviced in order to, somebody said in our church, to be roadworthy. You know, to be able to be acceptable outside there. Now, my first question normally, just as I said, I would say, what is it that is keeping you here? Why are you still committed to this church? Is it because you come early in the morning to prepare the church, the chair, the venue? What is it that is still keeping you here? You know, as a teacher, I want to provoke your thought. You know, as you are thinking. What is it? Are you here because they serve nice coffee? Are you still committed here because people smile a lot? What is it that is still keeping you here? And I want us to think about that. So, by answering that question, I'm going to go through two scriptures quickly and then go to my points. You know, teachers always say point number one, point number two, point number three. That's what I will do. My first scripture will be John chapter 6, verse 60 to 69. John, wonderful. On hearing it, many of his disciples, what did they hear? It's when Jesus said, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you will not, I think it is the verses above, but you will not, receive the kingdom of God. Unless you eat. I mean, when they heard that, the disciples were a big crowd. I know most of the time we know and we talk about the 12, but they were a big crowd. Now, when they heard, the Bible says, when they heard him saying that, unless, those are the verses above that. You can read that during your spare time. On hearing that, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? Yes, we can continue. What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. You know, the words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. Let's go on. And I want to go to verse 66 in the middle. From this time onward, after they heard Jesus saying, unless you eat of me and drink of my blood, they said, oh, this is a hard teaching. And the Bible says, from this time, many of his disciples, I normally say, this was Jesus' church. He was the priest. He was the pastor. Now, when they heard him teaching a hard teaching, the Bible says many of them turned back and no longer followed him. I mean, remember, these were not just people in the periphery. They were his disciples. They were in the church. That's why I'm saying, are you willing to accept a hard teaching when it is taught from the pulpit here? Well, some of us come to church, but when the hard teaching is taught, you feel like, this is too much. I can't be in this church anymore. I want the church that can preach what I want to feel. That will make me happy. And it continues, 67, and then Jesus, you do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Let's continue. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life. I sense Simon is saying, if others leave, we are committed to you. Others can go. We are not willing to leave anything. We are committed to you, not only to you, but to your ways. Circumstances can be difficult. I mean, you can be part of this church, but there will come a day where you feel like, oh, do I still want to be here? Remember the words of Peter. He said, where can we go? We have got no other alternative. We believe and know that you are the Holy One, the Son of God. So what was Peter saying there? He was saying, even if others leave, we are committed to you. Our commitment is not in any other thing. It is in you, one, two, and in your words. Let me go to another scripture. I'll come and build on that. It's Acts chapter 2,
verse 42 to 46.
Those who accepted, it starts with they devoted themselves. Actually, verse 41, which is not there, says 3,000 were added on that day. Now, that group, I heard here, you were talking about new souls, new people coming into the church. And the Bible, I felt it, you know, kindled in my heart. Oh, I wish these new people could be devoted. The word devoted, that means commitment. They committed themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miracles were done among them. Those who accepted this, verse 41, devoted themselves. So the two things that I picked up in the two portions of Scripture is, I hear a declaration of Peter saying, irrespective of the situation, irrespective of the difficulties, he even speaks on behalf of the other 11. He doesn't even ask them to say, hey guys, what is your feeling? from Jesus' question, he just said, we, all of us, we are committed to you and to your ways. And the Bible says in the book of Acts, those who were born again on that day, 3,000 of them, just imagine such a revival, all committed themselves to the teaching of the gospel, of the apostles' teaching. And apostles' teaching are not anything, it's Jesus' teaching. They committed themselves to Jesus' teaching. So I want to give, I'll run through these points because they are very, very important. But the first one I regard as number one on the hierarchy of levels of commitment. Now, the number one, I'm talking, as I said, culture of commitment. Number one, commitment begins with commitment to Christ and the Lord and his way. The first level of commitment in the church, if you are a member here or you just got up born again, first commitment is not into anything. It's not into, you know, preparing the hall or doing any other thing. The first level of commitment, it begins with commitment to Christ, the Lord, and his word. What do I mean? It's two parts there. One, commitment to Christ means before you can commit to any other thing in the church, you must commit your life to Jesus himself. Unfortunately, we will be weakened as a church, as a local church, if we have many people who are committed to other things before they commit their lives to Christ. So the first entry of commitment is commitment to Christ. We need people who have devoted their lives to Christ before we can talk about any other thing. Because if your life is not hidden with Christ, isn't it Paul says so? If it's not hidden with Christ, when difficulties come, you will just, you know, drift away quickly. So we don't want to give you responsibilities while we don't know whether you are committed to Christ. That's the first step. The Bible says here they did not only commit to Christ, they also committed themselves to his word. You can see in John chapter 6, 68, that's what we had there. Peter says, we are committed to you. We are not going anywhere. Another scripture that confirms commitment to the Lord is 2 Corinthians 8, 5. 2 Corinthians 8, 5, Paul talks about the Macedonian churches, how they were willing, even though they were poor, how they were willing to give. He said, first, 2 Corinthians 8, 5, he said, first they committed themselves to the Lord before they committed themselves to us. So, friends, saints, the first level of commitment must be to Christ himself. Because we are not an entertainment society. We are not a club. We are here to commit our lives to Christ first. If I cannot sense that in your life, it will be difficult to delegate you to go and look after the kids or to lead a community. Because my sense is I need to hear you have a relationship with Christ. You are committed. You have given up your life to Christ first. And that's the first level. Not only to that, are you also committed to Jesus' word? Because without the word, you will be empty.
Without the weight, you can't lead a community. Without the weight, you can't do anything. Because sometimes people feel like standing in front here and preaching and doing something is something that is easy. It comes through commitment to Christ and his weight. Then when you are full of the weight, you can be able to come. Sometimes elders can see, this guy is full of the weight. So what are we saying? We need people who fear God. We need people who God is God in every situation. Oh, I feel like preaching this point. Like T.D. Jakes who said, come on. We need people who are committed to God even when the pastor is not there. Wow. People who are committed to Christ in their secret spaces. When you are alone there, saving through the internet, committed to Christ. When you are alone in a compromising situation, but you are still saying, oh God, I will say no. Because the Bible says, this grace has appeared unto all men, teaching us to say no to all ungodliness. We need people who are committed to Christ, even in a very difficult situation. Like the Joseph of the Old Testament. I call such people the Joseph generation. Josh generation, Joseph generation. Hallelujah. You know, the Joseph generation are the people who find themselves in Potiphar's house. And they are tested and tried. And in the absence of the church and the lead elder, they still say no. You know, in Genesis chapter 39, I think it's verse 9, it may not be part of the package that I sent to the guy there. You know what Joseph said? I'm not going to touch you, Potiphar's wife. I'm not going to touch you because I'm not going to sin against my God. He's not saying I'm not going to sin against my pastor. This guy fears God more than men. His life, his relationship with God is more important than his relationship with men. Because most of the people fear, if I sin, maybe my pastor will see me. No, he says, I'm not going to touch you. I'm not going to indulge myself into sin. Because I fear my God. We need people who are committed at that level. When they are not seen by anybody. Who are not Sunday Christians. What I call Monday to Saturday church. We need people who are Christians on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, until Saturday. Who in their difficult times, they can still commit their lives to God and say, I'm not going to compromise this thing. Am I making sense to you? Those are the kind of material that we need to use in the local church. We don't want to delegate anybody responsibility. I mean, the world is waiting to hear us speaking, impacting words, and not only speaking, but showing it with our own lives. What does it help if you are full of energy? You can sing, you can praise, you can do any other thing. But your relationship with God is very weak. Your relationship with Christ is very weak. You are compromised in many ways. So we need to build local churches around people whose life and relationship with Christ is beyond question. I'm saying a difficult thing here. People who are rooted and grounded in Christ, who cannot be shaken by anything. You know, when Joseph was in prison, he still became the light in prison. You know, when he was in the palace, he still became the light in the palace. We need Christians who are committed to that level. Is there an amen in the house? Wow. I said Christians from Monday to Saturday. Isn't it on Sunday everybody is a Christian? So, but we need Monday to Saturday Christians. They must be all over the place. Christian in the company. Christian in the boardroom. Christian in the university. Christian everywhere. The problem we have around today in the church is people don't believe they are called into their spaces. They believe calling is only for the pastor. No, I know. Romans chapter 1,
Verse 1 says, from Paul, he says, from Paul, who, you know, I can't quote it word for word, who is called to the church, to the saints, who are called. He is called, also the saints are called. You can just read Romans chapter 1 and Romans 1, verse 1 and 7. So, the pastors are called, but the church is also called. We need people who are committed to the calling. And not just saying, no, I'm called only on Sunday. You are called in that boardroom. You are called in every space. You are called whether you are in the street, like Rian said, you know, whether you are next to McDonald's or you are anywhere else. Called in every space. I'm telling you the time. Look, Philip went to Samaria, a deacon. When he arrived there, he turned the city upside down. He did not wait to be delegated to preach because his relationship with Christ was very clear. You know, after, when they were persecuted, they ran away. He found himself in Samaria. He started preaching immediately because he understood, this is my space. This is a place I must influence. So we are not only called for Sunday service. Are we together, Christians? We are called into every space, particularly when no one sees you. And if we are that quality of Christians, when we come here, we have a group of Christians who are very solid. And when we send them out, if we are 200, we can bring back another 200. Because we are a team of solid Christians who are committed to Christ. Not only to Christ, but His word. How many of us are committed to Christ's word here? Can you see with your hands? Be free, be free. Because as a teacher, normally I just relax. I want to interact with the class. Hallelujah. Wow. Number two, another level of commitment is commitment to the vision of God for the church. You're not only committed to Christ Himself. You're not only committed to His word. Number two, committed people, individuals in the church who are committed to Christ's vision about the church. And what is that vision? It is going to nations. Going out to win the lost for Christ. So you cannot go and win the lost for Christ if you are not committed to Christ Himself first. Am I making sense? First level of commitment to Christ. The next level of commitment to His vision about the church. So the church does not exist for itself. Okay, good English would be, does not exist for herself. So it's very difficult to think about that. You know, I am the fourth language speaker, not even the second language speaker. So the church does not exist. You are not here for yourself. You are here for the outside world. Oh, that is a different thinking. People think we are here to make everybody happy and to relax and to be okay. I know very soon God will give you resources to build your own church building. Hallelujah. Do you receive that prophecy? Hallelujah. Oh, it looks like I want to tap in the prophetic now. And now, we are not going to build auditoriums that are an end in themselves. We build buildings where we can meet, which are comfortable, but that they are not an end in themselves. But we are there to be serviced for the world outside. So Christ called us, if you read John chapter 20, 21, John 20, 21, if you have it, you can put it up. John 20, 21, he says, he talks about, as the Father has sent me, so I send. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. So that is the mission. Okay, Matthew 28, we know 28 from verse 18 to 20, that is known by all Christians by heart. So where he, you know, go into all the world and make nation disciples of all nations. And Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the world. That is all why we exist. If we have people in this church who are not committed to that thing, this church will be stagnant.
very stagnant. It will die. It will, because we become, you know, I normally say in our local church, we become a stock fail. You know what is a stock fail? We just come together, enjoy ourselves, you know, put money together, buy gifts for one another. It's good. You know, we're not existing to make ourselves feel good. Actually, we are called to be uncomfortable. Have you heard what I said? We are called to be uncomfortable in our situation so that we can go. So Christ called us not to be relaxing, but to go. To everything we do is centered around going. Now, if we have members in our church, in our local church, in City Bowl Church, and they are not committed to this thing, they are going to complain. Whenever the church spends money on the going, they will say, but you know, our building project, our what. Priority number one is never the building project. I'm saying a difficult thing. By the way, the building project is very important. Because we can't be in the school forever. We need to come out of this place. Amen. But number one of all, it's souls outside there. So all of us who are committed to this thing will help us to move, will help us to grow, will help us to have life, and so on. Number three, another level of commitment is commitment to the heart and the spirit of the visionary leader. Commitment, you don't only commit to Christ and his vision, but you commit to the heart of the visionary leader. Ryan is, and this one I need to explain it clearly, because many people, I'm just committed to God. You know, my local pastor, I don't feel him. I don't feel this guy. No way. You can't be here and be committed to God and not be committed to him. Ryan, just raise your hand. Raise your hand. Come on. Everyone here must be committed to this guy. Hallelujah. So you can come here and be committed to, you know, the program of the church, committed to the Holy Spirit, worship, and be committed to God. And when it comes to the pastor or the local lead guy, you say, it's not my type. No. Am I making sense here? To build a strong local church, we need saints that are committed to the leader. We're not saying we worship the leader, but we honor him, we submit under his authority. And when he says, we need to turn this way, we must all turn. He just gave an example. In our culture, when the leader says anything, it's a command. Even if he says, Sam, I think, hey man, do you think you can accompany me to Joburg on Monday? I will immediately say, yes, I will make a plan. It's not about let's have coffee, let's have wah-wah. I know you still, you know, in the Western culture, you still need to grow in that space. But with us, we are already there. When the leader speaks, it's just like a command. I'm telling you, I'll just make a plan, you know. So what am I saying? Numbers chapter 11, 16. I want to quote that scripture. Numbers 11, 16. The people are complaining about the manna and all the food that were given. And Moses even said to God, kill me. These people are difficult. You know what? I don't want to lead them anymore. If I would ask Ryan, he will tell me, hey, at some point I feel like, man, these people are difficult. I know he didn't pray the prayer that says, kill me, Lord. Because his wife will command him and say, spirit of death, come out. So Moses even wanted to die. He prayed such an awkward prayer. But, you know, listen to what the Lord said. The Lord said to Moses, bring me 70 of Israel elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among people. Have them come to the tent of the meeting that they may stand here with you. And let's continue if you have it more. Or is it only? Okay, is it going to come? Okay, it will take a while. And he said, the next verse he said, it's just that I gave you only verse 16. Then the next verse he says, and I'll take the spirit that is in you and I'll put it in them. So, what does that mean? It means the spirit, we can tap into the spirit of the leader. I nearly said Bazalwani. You know, in our church we say Bazalwani. Bazalwani means brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
Now, saints, you cannot be committed to God and his plans about the church if you are not committed to the leader. God was simply saying, you have a spirit, Moses. I want to take the spirit that is in you and spread it among the leaders among yourselves so that the work may be lighter. So if you are in this church, if you feel you don't have the spirit of the leader, oh, you need to pray. You come to the leaders so that they lay hands on you so that you tap into that spirit. Because if you have his spirit, you'll be able to, put your hands on the plow. You'll work together. You'll be energized. You'll always look forward to the church and every assignment you are given to. So all of us must have his spirit. Am I making sense? If you don't have his spirit, very soon you'll be out of this church. Because then it means you are not the child of this house. He is the father of the house. The father's genes must flow to his kids. I'm saying difficult things this morning. So tap into the spirit. Whenever he says something, you must feel it. You must be able to say, where am I? How can I help? What is it that I can do for? Make it light for this guy. Make it light for this guy. Not so that I don't want my pastor or my lead elder to go to God and pray a difficult prayer. I want him to pray for me so that I break through in all my spheres, in my personal life. So if I do that, it's when my life is connected to him. So Moses, God said, connect. Bring the people so that I can take the spirit that is in you and bring it into the rest of everyone. So what am I saying? I'm saying there is a particular spirit in a leader. You know, the spirit of this leader is not the same as the spirit of the leader in Durbanville. It's different. It's different. You may go there and feel like, this is not the type of my church. But when you come here, you feel like, oh, I like this guy. Particularly, he can sing as well. Why do you have to commit to him? You commit to him because he carries the mission and the direction of the local church. He carries that, the mission and the direction. Otherwise, you will be misplaced if you don't commit to him. You won't hear his voice. You won't hear his voice. The next point, commitment entails setting priorities, personal priorities right. Commitment entails setting personal priorities right. Particularly in the sphere of one, or A, finances. Two, I will just mention only two, time. Finances and time. Priorities, setting priorities. Your commitment will be determined by the way you prioritize your resources in relation to the church. You can, in Matthew chapter 6, 21, the Bible says, where your money is or your wealth is, your heart is there as well. You can be saying, my church is number one. God is number one, but your resources are not here. I can say these things because I'm not here every Sunday. Amen. And if Ryan is not happy, then he will not invite me again. But I'm saying them. I mean, if your resources are not here, if in our church, I normally say, if people walk to church and it's rainy, it's fine because maybe you couldn't pick them up in the morning. But when they leave and it's still rainy, they can't walk through the rain again. And we have 200 cars outside. I'm saying something that is very, because what am I saying? I'm saying a car is a resource. God has entrusted it to you. Now you have people who coming from around here and it was raining in the morning, they walked through the rain. It's fine. But now when they go home, it's still raining. you need to use the resources for the house of the Lord. And say, guys, how are you traveling? Can we take give you a lift? You know, just drop you there. You can't be saying, yo, my car is going to be dirty. Oh, God will take it away. So that you can walk as well. Am I making sense this morning? One guy was saying, if people don't come to church, because they are busy with, you know, maybe on Saturday they went somewhere, they were busy with something, and on Sunday they are busy with washing or cleaning the house. He said, we need to pray to God that God should take away the house so that they stay in a shack, which doesn't demand a lot of work, so that they can come to church. Hallelujah. Why? Because you can give reasons about God's resources. They become a stumbling block. No. For us to commit, we need to share resources with people in the church. Not only resources. You know, you can read Matthew chapter 6:33. You know it very well. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. This becomes, you know, among Christians, this scripture becomes, it's just like an anthem. Sometimes people don't just process it. Seeking the kingdom of God first. When you look at the bonds and you look at the petrol costs and you look at everything, sometimes the church is always number last. God is always number last. You know, I don't know how I'm going to make ends meet, but the Bible says, seek God first. Can we all say God first? If we can seek God first in everything we do, all things shall be added to you. Amen. You know, just quickly my story, short part, small part of my story. I got promoted and went high in government because I was teacher, principal, and then I got promoted and went up into government. And then when my daughter was at VETS, I mean, the fees there are roughly between, at that time it was about 70-something to 80,000 per year. And I felt the edge of God saying I should go out and be full-time. Okay, you know, it's interesting to say full-time. One person in our church was sharing on a couple of weeks back, he said, in actual fact, every Christian is full-time.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I was saying, I'm going to full-time. He said, but you were already full-time in that office. Yeah. So I went out full-time. And just mind you, it's the time when you are earning such a good salary and you feel like, and here are the kids who you must support and all that. Then I had to come out and go into the work full time. What am I saying? I'm allocating even myself, my whole life, my everything. I'm prioritizing the kingdom of God first. That is very difficult and still very simple. Faith is something very difficult but still very simple. And believing God will give me. I mean, you're looking into the church coffers. I'm already earning over 30,000. Here I'm going to get only an offering. Now, you may never go into that kind of a space if God is not a priority. If money is everything. Wow, am I making sense? It's difficult. Then you prioritize God in the midst of competing needs. Not only God, I mean resources, but I know in terms of our culture, the Western culture, time is everything. People will tell you, I don't have time for this. You know, they will tithe, they will give money towards the project, they will do everything, but never turn up because they are busy with other things. We don't need money only, we need you.
Yes, come on.
Is there an amen in the house?
Yes.
Not only your money, you can do EFT, but that is not yourself. The EFT is not a human being. We need fresh blood and flesh in front of us, in the communities, when we meet during the week. We need people there. We don't need money there. Okay, it's good. Transfer it EFT, but still come. Transfer the money and follow the money. And sit at home and say, I'm too busy. You know, the project on Monday, I've got this and that. For us to build strong churches, we need people who can share their resources that God has allocated to them as stewards, but still follow the resources. Go to church and be part of the community. Am I making sense this morning? Wow. So allocate time. Ephesians 3:1 says, there's time for everything. If we can allocate time for these things, then we'll be in trouble. Another point is, commit our gifts to the local church. Let's commit our gifts to the local church. And you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, we are one body, 12-12. The body is a unit, though it's made up of many parts, and though it's all parts, but they form one body. So remember, your gift can only make sense when it works within the body. There are people who are gifted. Once they, you know, Ian just comes to, we ask him to pray for the sick. One day he just prays for one person, that person gets healed. Now he's no longer wanting to operate within the body. He wants to go out and operate on his own. Even before we release him, he's already saying, I'm a big, you know, miracle worker. I will do it on my own. No, your gift makes sense when you operate within the body. So even if you are gifted, operate within the local church until you are released into your space. Now, people should not, you know, be confused and then get excited about the gifts that God has given into their lives. Use the gifts within the local church. Commit them here. If you are lead singer here, we shouldn't be coming and begging you and say, please don't come. Just know this is God's gift. I'll come and use it in the church. Wow, am I making sense? The next one, commit to fellowship. I'll finish up quickly now. Commit to fellowship. The Bible says, Acts 2:42, they were devoted not only to prayer and all these things, but they were devoted to fellowship. Let us see you at communities. Let us see you on Sundays. Let us see you all the time. You know, we normally say this thing at our church. A church is not a mining company where people work in shifts. You know, in the mine, you work in shifts. You know, this Sunday is your shift. And the following Sunday, you are not there. The church is not a mining company. We all come all the time. Are you there? It's not a mining company. Don't come in shifts. We need to see you all the time because we are a family. Hebrews chapter 10:25. Hebrews 10:25, it says, let us not, you know, stop the, you know, what is it saying? Give up meeting together. You can see he's younger, so he can quote the scriptures by head. Let us not give up the tradition of meeting together. Amen. And the last 2 points. Commitment is commitment to your fellow saints in the local church. People who are committed to the fellow saints. In the Galatians 6:10, I want us to read it. People who are committed to fellow saints. You know, you therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. I hear that. I always say I hear that. But especially those who belong to the family of believers. You can't shine outside and live your people within the local church unattended. Can I see those who understand that point? Raise up your hand, please. You cannot shine outside and leave people inside unattended. You need to know how they feel, how they live. If you have a student here, where is your rest? And how is life? How do you cope? What are you? Even if it's not a student, anybody else. Commit to one another. The Bible says in John chapter 17 that the world will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So if you don't show love, you know, sharing things together, if you don't show commitment to one another, it will be difficult to show commitment to the world outside. If you are not a strong team, I always give an example that if you go into a scrummage in rugby, and you are doubtful, you're going to break your neck. You must show you are part of this team. When the referee said, you must go at the same time. Yeah. Otherwise, your neck is going to fall into pieces. Yeah. So you must show that you are a member of this team. Yeah. If your teammate is not ready, you must say, hey, come on, be with me, man. We are going in now. So be committed to your team members. Commitment is not only to God, to his word, and it's commitment to one another in the local church. We are busy building a strong team. The last point, we must, commitment is submission to the rebuke and correction by the word. That's the last point. I love this one. When we say you are committed, it's when the word is preached. It's 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16. All scriptures breathed, God breathed, and useful in teaching, rebuking and correcting. I like those two. We believe you are really committed when Ryan or Ian or all the elders stand here and or they rebuke you in secret place, in a special meeting, they call you for tea and rebuke you. Because in front here, you might feel offended. So they just call for, I say, let's have coffee. Hey, my man, you better shake up. You better do something. So when you are rebuked and you still submit, we know this is a committed guy. Now, if you are rebuked and you go and leave the church, we know he was never part of the flock. Can we submit to the rebuke and the correction by the word? I'm just using Ryan. I say Ryan, but it's not Ryan. It's the word. He rebukes you through the word. Is there an amen in the church? I'm done. The last question that I want to say is, how many of us today agree with Peter when he says, Lord, to whom shall we go? Are we agreeing with Peter today to say, Lord, we have got no other place? How many of us say so? We have got no other place. We are committed to you, to your way, to your business, to the church. If you don't mind, can I ask you to stand on your feet and just